This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Nate Gusakoff is a singer, songwriter, and banjoist, living in the mountains with his family in northern Vermont. Although his first 20 years found him playing the clawhammer style of banjo, more recently, he has enjoyed the sounds produced by his solo-bodied banjo, played through pedal boards and vintage tubes. Nate is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles, as we talk about his experimental old-time music and his latest album, Many Mountains. Hi, Nate. Welcome to the podcast today. Welcome to from snowy Virginia to snowy Vermont.
Hey, Greg. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We were just talking a few minutes ago. You are in Bristol, Vermont, and I'm used to talking in the other direction, to Bristol, Tennessee. So it's good to go north for me and talk up north to Bristol for a change.
Yeah, we're in, geologically, really, we're in the very far northern reaches of the Appalachian chain, I think, up here in the Green Mountains.
Yeah, I think so. I was trying to find you on the map, so that's cool.
Right, yeah, look for Montreal and then go about 2 hours south by
car. Okay, all right.
There we are.
Has Vermont been home for you your whole life?
Yeah, yep. Bristol specifically is where I was born and grew up and did some traveling around the world in the college years and around then, but this is always where I've wanted to be and where I still am.
Yeah. You mentioned the Appalachian Mountains. Is there, I'm going to show my ignorance a little bit, is there music that's specific to heritage music specific to the Vermont corner of the Appalachian Mountains that you know of?
Well, yes, of course, but not necessarily as defined as say, Appalachian old time, you know, what we call traditional old time.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old tradition in Vermont and we're around northern New England called Kitchen Tunk, which was sort of the old, you know, it's a kitchen jam, basically. Vermont traditional music would tend to have more influence from French-Canadian history.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And Quebecois and a lot of that almost Cajun, really, if you will. Fiddling and that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah.
There are a handful of Vermont songwriters over the last few decades who, in my mind, growing up around here in the musical world, are sort of the backdrop and the definition of Vermont folk. But I don't think it has its own definable genre yet.
Okay.
You know, we're all working on it day
sure.
by day.
Yeah. Did you grow up with it? What was the influence for you to start playing?
Yeah, definitely grew up in a musical household. My dad's a professional violinist and fiddle teacher and fiddler, plays with the Vermont Symphony Orchestra and among many other bands and groups. And so I was always hearing him play or going to gigs and hanging out backstage or what have you, and singing four-part family harmonies in the car, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And then I went totally away from it all through high school. I was just into sports, you know, still sang in the musicals, but... And then when I was 20, I kept hearing music in my head. I was like, you know, I better learn something, or I'm going to be real bummed down the road. And
yeah.
I picked up a banjo, and off I went.
why the banjo? What? And I think specifically, I read if correctly, it was clawhammer, right? It wasn't even the typical bluegrass style banjo. It was the clawhammer style.
Yeah. Banjo, well, originally, I mean, literally, it was one of those things, you know, I was 20 years old. I was feeling as counterculture as I'm ever going to feel, probably. And also sort of, I don't know, counter-civilization in a way. And of all the instruments, the banjo just seemed to have the most sort of plunk to it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't find it, now you do find it in the classical genre, because Bela Fleck and a few others
right.
have really expanded.
Yeah.
But at that point in my head, it wasn't a part of that whole classical polished world. And I just, one day I just walked into the music store and they had a Deering Good Time for a few $100 and I did it. and then I took two lessons. I took one bluegrass lesson and one clawhammer lesson.
Okay.
And the bluegrass, I tried for a while and learned the roles and started getting into it. And that's what I had grown up with. My dad played also in a bluegrass band in Banjo Dan and the Midnight Plowboys, one of Vermont's longest running bluegrass bands. And, it just, honestly, it felt really pigeonholing to me. It felt like I was supposed to learn the same six roles and then learn how Earl played all the songs and then go from there.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, not. You can do amazing things with bluegrass banjo, and I love it. But to me, it just didn't quite ring. But the clawhammer felt much, much better. And at that point, I was going to college for sustainable agriculture and really living a sort of a farmstead lifestyle, which I still do somewhat. And the clawhammer and the history of it, the roots of it, all the way back to Africa, certainly. And sort of the darkness is also in there. It all attracted me a lot. And so for years and years, that was all I played. It was just old clawhammer stuff and writing my own, too.
Did you play professionally with that, with the band, solo? How did that pan out for you as you moved into that?
Yeah, started mostly in, you know, college dorm rooms, as it does for so many musicians.
Right.
Sterling College, which is where I ended up graduating, tiny little school up in northeastern Vermont. And I, you know, played local open mics, what have you, through that. And then, yeah, I started playing with two folks who are still active in the Vermont music scene, Katie Trouts and Jason Pappas. We formed a little kind of experimental old-time group called Naughty Pine with fiddle and clawhammer banjo and an electric bass, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And we toured, we played around Vermont a bunch. We did a tour out to Alaska, played regionally a bit. And so it was just 4 or 5 years after I started playing that I was first playing out, playing gigs. But it's only, I don't know, maybe this year or last year that I'm really settling into thinking of myself as at least a part-time professional musician.
Okay.
The day job's been naggingly consistent all the way through.
Well, it's probably a good thing you had that to fall back on with the way things have unfolded over the last 12 months or so in the music world anyway.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And then, you know, come March, I actually had the recording session set up for my newest EP that's just coming out. I think the date was like March 25th or something, when we were all supposed to get together in the studio and record, and it's like, nope, that didn't happen. It was about a week after Vermont imposed a lockdown, I believe. And so, yeah, it's been amazing that I had the day job, and I've been so grateful for that, and this past summer certainly tried to kind of just step away from the music scene to make sure that there was more room in whatever bandwidth was being consumed for the folks who were really relying on it as their income or a major part of their income.
Sure, yeah.
Yep.
What pulled you from the traditional acoustic style into the more electric? I think I read even some effect pedals kind of thing into kind of more of that electrified, I think you used the word experimental old time. What was the lean that drew you more from the traditional into that style?
A lot of things in hindsight. So I have a solid body electric banjo. It's got a humbucker pickup in the neck and a single coil in the head, and it's strung like a five-string banjo, but it's, for all intents and purposes, it's an electric guitar.
Okay, yeah.
And so, bunch of things. One, certainly all throughout while I was playing acoustically, because I wasn't playing bluegrass, I didn't have a resonator on the banjo, I wasn't playing with picks, volume-wise, I was just a lot quieter.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I struggled with. Just it really limited the genres I could play out with. It was hard to mic. It was hard to do. There's not much sustain with
right,
the notes on the
right,
banjo.
Yeah.
It's really designed to plunk and then decay. And so you have to, there's a lot of movement is necessary to fill the space. And
right.
So playing solo, it would be a lot because I'm trying to sing and I'm trying to fill the space. So that thread was going on. And then I just began to hear songs in my head that were electric, just as a musician, which was really cool. And like I could play them on the acoustic banjo, but I'd hear them with a full band, and I sort of visualize myself. It was a year and a half or two that a couple of these songs were just in there. And I think it's 3 years ago now, I got my Christmas bonus from my day job. There it is again. And
yeah.
I just turned around and got this gold tone electric banjo.
Okay, awesome.
And those couple songs that had led me to it are indeed now fully realized and on this album. And then once I started playing and once I started really learning about electric tone, which is a whole new world, and tube amps and pedals, and et cetera, and now I've got a sweet little setup, and it has just opened up massive doors for me in terms of creativity and where I'm willing to go with sound and what songs I'm writing emotionally because I have such a bigger musical force that I can put behind them. It's cool. It's been fun.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
Now, obviously, playing instrumentally and experimenting with the sounds and the different things that you can create, which comes first for you? Are you including lyrics as well in some of these songs, or are you more focused on the instrumentation?
All five on the new EP have lyrics. For what I'm doing for fun right now, when I'm just playing and practicing and sort of noodling around, it's a lot of instrumental stuff. And layering up, just layering sounds. But for recorded, presented music, at least at this point, it all also has lyrics. And in terms of which comes first, it's totally... Boy, that's a good question. I don't think I've ever written a song where the lyrics came first.
Interesting. Okay.
Oddly enough, but what definitely happens is I'll be playing around and I'll hear a theme or come up with a fragment that I really like, and if it keeps developing, either its own lyrics will come with it, and those are few and far between. Those are sort of the golden ones that just come out all of a piece, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Whoa! Or I'll that fragment of music will tap into a certain thought or emotion that's been kicking around in me anyway.
Yeah.
And so then the lyrics will come of that, I guess that's how I'd describe it.
Yeah, okay. Is this an organic process for you, or do you have a certain method to, I'm going to take 4 hours this weekend and focus on my music? Is it regimented, or is it more of an organic process?
It has been more organic for me for the most part, and that's sort of connected to what I was talking a little bit about earlier about not quite identifying as a professional musician. And so in some ways that was great. There was no pressure to create, and so I just would let things come as they came, and that's meant that I've basically only put out two albums of original music in 12 years. But as I've gotten more and more into it the last few years and started to observe friends or colleagues or other musicians that I admire and see how much work they put into it as a craft, I've tried that a bit, and I've been really happy with it.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah.
Sort of surprised. I was always like, oh, my God, I don't know where this stuff comes from. I can't make it come out, I'm just going to write it down when it comes. But as I've really put my head into it and said, no, I'm going to spend an hour just trying to get these few verses right or trying to extend this song a little bit, it's come up with some good stuff, and it's been a good exercise.
That's cool.
A little of both at this point.
You mentioned that this is the current album, which is Many Mountains. I want to talk about that in a minute. Only sure. Your second of original material. So when you have had the opportunity to play prior to the pandemic, are you is focusing entirely on your original music, or are you bringing in some music for some other folks? And if you do that, how do you decide which cover tunes that you want to include in your set?
Great question. So the first part of it, mostly it's that I haven't ever been performing solo or sort of presenting myself as a solo act.
Okay.
I've played with other groups. Some of that, again, goes back to the day job thing. It's been really, really nice when I find musicians that I are interested in playing together and they're doing a lot of booking. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're sort of doing the grind. So I'm like, great, I'll play in your band because you just tell me where and when to show up.
Right, yeah.
And so there are a number of albums of Vermont musicians that I have played on over, you know, those years.
Uh-huh.
And then also my dad and I, for the last four or five, have been playing as a duo. And some of that has been original. Some of it's his writing. Some of it's more traditional Appalachian stuff or variations on. So there has been more musical output. But in terms of albums under my name that are all original and sort of I'm the captain of the ship,
sure,
with arrangements and composition. So far, there have only been two of those.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And then, so the new one is Many Mountains. Is that actually out yet, or is it on its way out?
It is. It is right in the midst of being out. So I technically had a release date of January 21st. So it is out on all the platforms, mm-hmm, et cetera, as well as on my website, which is just nategusakov.com. But I just literally yesterday heard from Astrology Days Records, which is a label put together by Pappy Biondo and John Morgan Kimmock. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those guys. Pappy plays with Cabinet.
Okay.
John Kimmock plays with the Mike Gordon Band,
uh-huh,
among others.
Uh-huh.
And they would like to have me in the fold.
Wow, that's awesome.
So yeah, it's like it's out as a solo, you know, personal release, private release, but it will be announced shortly through Astrology Days Records, probably within the next week or so.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like it's out. It's an infant. It's newborn. It's out in the world.
It sounds like that was a surprise of sorts to get that invitation.
It was a delightful surprise. I mean, I had reached out to them. They had said this was, you know, back before the holidays. Cool, we've got a bunch going on. We're not 100% sure. We need to get our ducks in a row because they're a fairly new label, a new project. And time went by, and I had said, January 21st, what I'm hoping for. And I hadn't heard back and thought, okay, maybe it, you know, didn't make the cut or they've got enough else going on. And so I was like, cool, I'm just going to go for it and self-release this as I planned and put in the work. And so it was a surprise.
Yeah.
To hear all of a sudden they're like, Pappy emailed and said, hey, we'd love to represent it.
Yeah.
To me, that's huge. It's a huge validation. And I admire both of those guys so much as musicians.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be really fun to be a little bit of part of a crew like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So in a perfect world, we're all going to get back out and play and enjoy music soon. What does it look like if you can do that to take this out to your audience? How do you foresee being able to play out with this new music?
It's going to be fun. I'm psyched about it. It won't always be with the full band as recorded because I've got drums, bass, electric guitar, electric banjo, Hammond B3 organ, and the guy who plays that really insists on playing a full Hammond instead of keys
wow,
of keyboard if you possibly can.
Yeah, that's cool.
So you can imagine the
logistics.
I love that
sound,
you know,
yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. And this thing, you know, it's way older than I am, and it's got, you know, like a 8-foot section that's just wires and knobs and tubes in the back, and it literally has caught fire while he was playing on stage before.
Oh,
you know, it's a great antique, but the sound is unbeatable.
Right, yeah.
So full band, I think I'm hoping, boy, if I can put together one or two gigs, maybe one a month with the full band, that'd be awesome. But in terms of being representing the album and touring these songs and this music, I'm planning to go for it as much as I possibly can come the end of COVID restrictions.
Sure. Yeah. So you'd like to get out of the state and tour down through the U.S.?
Yeah, I would. You know, I did that, like I mentioned earlier, with sort of one of the first bands that I was with, and then it's been mostly in-state. My dad and I have toured regionally a little bit, but part of what 2021 represents for me is a switch a little bit further away from that day job. I just started teaching banjo also with a local community music center.
That's sweet. Yeah, that's cool.
And so, yeah, I am hoping that I can take some small tours down to the further down the East Coast, or even, you know, all across the country if it's possible. There's a lot of logistics involved, and I have a wonderful family here and a little farmstead styled life, so it's not necessarily the easiest, but that's definitely part of my hope.
Well, that's great. The again, the album is Many Mountains, and the new label, tell us that again.
Astrology Days Records.
Okay. And where will it be available? Through them, or do you have it on the social media outlets as well?
Yep, it's all over right now. You can go directly to my website, nategusakov.com, or Bandcamp, or Spotify, or SoundCloud, or YouTube, or on goes the list. It's available everywhere.
And the website is nategusakov.com, is that correct?
NategusaKov.com.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I found it very enjoyable and interesting. I like what you're doing, and I certainly wish you well with it. And I hope you get to get out soon like everybody else. And
Let
the audience hear it live. Yeah. So we wish you well, and thank you, Nate. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Greg. This is a great interview. I really appreciate your questions. It's been awesome.
Great. Thank you. Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.